Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Roy Hargrove. He's a young trumpeter whose blazing sound, depth of feeling, and sheer joy in playing has already won him star status among musicians and music lovers all around the world. And it's true, isn't it? You've been everywhere, done everything.
Not quite yet. I'm still, you know, trying to get there.
But you've done so much already. I've heard you have small groups, big band, and now I'm interested in sort of finding out how all this came to pass. Like, you're from Texas?
Right. I was born in Waco.
Yeah.
And when I was really young, I used to move around a lot because my father was in the Air Force. So I used to move around.
I was wondering if your family or if one of your family played, because you got started quite young.
Well, my father and mother used to play. My father played all the brass instruments. He played like sousaphone and trombone, trumpet, and French horn. And my mother played the saxophone.
Really?
And drums. But, you know, they never really like took it into a career. You know, basically, especially in a small town like Mark, Texas, which is where they grew up, if you play in a band, it's like, okay, well, get a real job, you know. So it's okay. But my father, he could still play. He used to play in as a hobby, you know, later on. So that's how I picked up the cornet, because he had one that he had bought from a pawn shop that he used to mess around with because he liked music. You know, my father always had, like, a lot of records and stuff.
Well, isn't that great? Because that's what got you started so young, I guess. Did they sort of say, well, we're going to buy you a horn, or did you, was it something you really wanted?
I used to just look around. You know, you're young, you get nosy, you want to look through your parents' stuff, you know. So I'm walking around. I was a latchkey kid.
Oh,
so they left me at home, you know, because they were working. And I go snooping around the house. You know, one day I went in the closet and I saw a little green case sitting there. I said, whoa, what's that?
Little devil. So you opened up the case. You opened it up.
I opened it up and I saw it. I was like, wow. So I started trying to blow it. It wouldn't work. I said, okay. When my father comes home, I'm going to ask him how to do it. And it took me a minute to actually get the courage to ask him, because I didn't want him to know that I had been in the closet looking for it, you know.
That's really funny. So what happened? Was he okay about it?
I asked my mother. So she kind of knew how to do it, too. So she showed me. She said, you do it like this. You just go. And so I tried it, and it didn't work. So finally I asked my father, and he showed me. He put the mouthpiece in, because I was trying to do it without the mouthpiece in it.
Oh, my God. It could have hurt your chops.
He put the mouthpiece in and showed me how to get a sound out of it. And then it came time for me to you know, get to join the band. I didn't want to play that instrument. I wanted to play, like, something like saxophone or clarinet or something like a woodwind, you know. But we couldn't buy anything at the time, so my father just let me use that. You know, I started on cornet.
It's fantastic how interesting it is how people got started. Like, that all seems so natural, and luckily you became interested in that instrument, so you stayed with it.
Right, I love to play. You know, when I finally learned how to actually get a sound out of the instrument, it was like I couldn't stop playing it. I just wanted to play all the time.
Let's play something.
Sure.
I can't wait any longer. all right, what can we do? There'll never be another you?
Sure.
See if I can pick a nice tempo.
Thank you.
Gee, you know, you play that thing with so much feeling, as if you really, as if you really like that tune. It's so nice. It's so nice. It's, I don't know what to say except it really felt good. And, you know, I want to go on with the Roy Hargrove story now. You must have gone to a good teacher in school.
The first teacher that I had was a guy named Dean Hill, and he was like he was the band director at my elementary school.
Yeah.
And they had a combination of two different schools from two different neighborhoods. He would come to our school on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and he would go to the other school on Tuesday and Thursday, and we'd come together on the weekend to practice at the other school.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that made me want to join the band was one day I went to an assembly and they were playing, the band was playing, it was like a regular like concert band, ensemble, you know. And they were getting up and taking improvised solo, you know, like solos based on the blues, you know.
Yeah. How old were these guys?
9, 10, 11
really?
Years old.
So how did you start? Did you just try to do it?
Well, I had to learn how to play first.
I know I read somewhere where you were, maybe it's the same school where David Fathead Newman came.
He was actually like a colleague of the guy that was my teacher, who was a drummer.
And he came and played.
Dean Hill was my teacher. He was a drummer. And he was a friend of Fathead. So Fathead used to come by the school sometimes and play for us, you know, show us how, basically show this is how it's done, yeah. So I remember one time I saw him playing. He was playing baritone sax, and he was playing a solo over the changes of Herbie Hancock's Chameleon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the tubas would play that. The tubas were playing that, and then the drummers kept the beat. Right, the drummers kept that beat going.
Yeah, boy.
And he would just solo. He was solo over it. And I remember the first time I saw him do that, I just sat there and watched him. And I was like, wow, he's playing all that music, and he's not reading a note of it. It's all coming from him. I want to do that, you know. I want to learn how to do that. So I spent a lot of time listening to cats like him and listening to recordings of people improvising.
Yeah, who else did you listen to?
During that time, I was checking out Maynard Ferguson because during that time, there were marching band trumpet players.
Yes, right.
So you had to be able to play high and loud, loud and high all the time. So everybody was checking out Maynard Ferguson.
I guess he was a good person to listen to because he could really play the horn.
Yeah. So after Maynard, the cat that really turned me out was like Clifford Brown.
Oh, God.
Clifford Brown, when I heard that, I said, wow, this cat, you know.
Wonderful guy.
Such a virtuoso, you know, and yet, you know, still comes across
beautiful.
With a lot of feeling.
Did you ever play this
tone.
Tune?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just made me think of that. I mean, he didn't write it, but Benny Golson wrote it for him. But anyway, I mean, it's so interesting, but nevertheless, let's play something else. Okay. Did you ever hear I Remember April?
Oh, yeah.
The conga line.
Conga line.
It's funny, though, but it's such a beautiful ballad. I mean, let's do it as a ballad.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, you've got such wonderful control of the horn. That's great. You must practice for hours.
Actually, you know, I wish I could practice more, but I do. I try to do like a warm up, you know, a routine and something every day before I perform. Or, you know, it's important if as a brass player to keep in shape, you know, because you know if you get in the habit of playing cold all the time, it can really mess with you.
Well, it could mess up your chops, couldn't it? You know, my husband was a trumpet player, and he was a little lax sometimes about warming up, and you know, he didn't always.
It's easy to get like that because it's a very tedious thing.
Yeah,
you know,
but
you have to sit
have done
there
that because then it. I imagine it does hurt your lip a little bit. Mm. I mean, you're doing the right thing. I'm saying something, hoping kids are listening. You know,
it's important, especially if you're a brass player, to sit down and actually very methodically and slowly keep get yourself ready to play. Because I mean, it's like you're breaking down blood vessels.
Yeah, true.
Doc Cheatham told me this actually. He said time you play, you break down these blood vessels, so you have to start slowly. And rest in between each phrase so that you give him a chance to build back up again, you know.
Wasn't Doc Cheatham, wasn't he something?
Oh, wow, man, this cat had an impeccable memory. He could remember anything, everything that happened, you know.
Yeah,
we were sitting down having breakfast one day, and he goes back into time and says, okay, this happened, blah, blah. He can remember, like, what tunes.
And who was on the date.
Who was on the date.
And what they wore.
Yeah.
Oh, he was amazing. No, we had him doing piano jazz. And he was, I mean, I love the way he sat there, I should say, on the stool with one leg sort of cocked in the air, you know, playing the horn up in the air, the angle. Mm-hmm. Jesus, he's so, I'm glad we had him for, 92 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. In case you've just tuned in, my guest today is Roy Hargrove. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. Well, why don't I play something for you?
Oh, sure, beautiful.
Okay. Did you ever hear, you must have, Mary Lou Williams play piano?
Yeah.
Have you heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
She was a great role model for me. She was somebody that always wanted to be like on the cutting edge, like she didn't want to be a fuddy-duddy playing the same way. Every time I would hear her, she would be doing something new, you know, this amazing woman. So anyway, we made a record of some of her music, and so I wrote this tune for her. It's called Threnody. It means a sad song.
was really pretty. That's nice.
Thank you. I felt good about it because I did love Mary Lou. She was a great person. Well, you know what? I would love to hear you play piano. How about it? You want to
Sure, I'll play
have
some.
A go?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll play Never Let Me Go.
Oh, that's a wonderful tune. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
You know, you picked one of my all-time favorite tunes to play on piano, and I feel stupid because I don't play it. There's some part in there that I mess it up. I'm going to have to listen to somebody's record and learn that tune because I should be ashamed not to play that. Very interesting. So did playing piano come before learning the horn then?
Well, I mean, I don't really play piano, you know. I just know some chords. I try to learn melodies and lyrics to tunes and stuff.
Well, like when you're arranging, I mean, you've done a lot of arranging too, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, playing piano does help, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Do you arrange your things like at the piano, or do you go away and come back later?
Well, sometimes when I arrange, I mean, I play some other instruments too. I can play a little bit of saxophone and trombone, and so when I'm writing, I can almost like sort of feel out the ranges of the instruments because I played them before, so I kind of know. So like when I'm writing for like a saxophone section or something like that, I try to write for the people who are gonna be playing if I know their sound, you know. And then the other thing is so when I'm playing piano, I write mostly like, you know, chord changes, and then I figure out the melody on my horn, or vice versa.
Boy, you're just a talented man. What can I say? You've just got so much going on. You know what I'd like to do, and this is kind of crazy, but it'd be fun to try and do a musical, sort of a portrait of you, the way you appear to me as a person. Can I try that?
Sure.
Okay. So this is going to be a portrait of Roy Hargrove. Well, what do you think?
I like that. That's me.
Well, I've tried to sort of cover, you know, the like the nice, smooth, beautiful way you play a ballad, and then kind of, you know, when you're being kind of laughing and doing the conga line and smiling, and, you know, trying to get this, because you have the great smile personality, you know. Yeah, so that's all. Anyway. It's time to let you know that my guest today is Roy Hargrove. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano and Organ Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. How do you learn tunes? Do you just learn them off a record and play them?
Sometimes I learn them off records, and sometimes I learn them from other musicians. You know, some situations, like I might have been on the bandstand with somebody like Clifford Jordan, and he'd play a song. I didn't really know it, you know, but I could hear, I listen, and I listen to him. By the time we get to the end of the song, I know it. You know, so that's how I learned some tunes. Other tunes I listen to vocalists sing the tune. That way I can really like learn the lyrics. That way I can really understand what the song's about. That way.
It's funny. That means a lot to me too. Knowing what the song is about. I mean, it's going back to, I remember April. It's funny how such a song with sad lyrics are kind of, you know. Poignant sort of lyrics wound up being such a up-tempo tune because, you know, but I know it does affect me a lot knowing what the lyrics are on the tune, mm-hmm. and obviously you too.
There's so, another tune that some people play a little faster. That's that I like to play as a ballad. Called The End of a Love Affair.
Oh boy. Mm. Oh boy. Mm. That lyric is so, you know, you talk a little too fast and you, it's a very real lyric, just like real life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you really have a feeling for ballads, don't you? I mean, do you really seem to love to play them?
I do. I like playing ballads. I don't know, I guess I'm a romantic.
Well, romance. It certainly sounds that way. And you know what would be a wonderful tune to play? And I don't think we've ever had this on Piano Jazz. I Wish I Knew. Okay. Do you like that tune?
I love it, too.
Well, let's do it then.
Okay.
It's funny, all the years we've had piano jazz, I don't think we ever had anybody play that tune, and it's such a pretty one.
Did you have Sweets on?
Have not had Sweets.
If you have Sweets on here, he'd play it for you.
That's right. As a matter of fact,
that's
now that
signature.
I think of it, that's the last time I played it, was with Sweets and, yeah. and with Benny Carter's group in Europe. That's mm-hmm. that's right. I've
that's his
that.
Tune. He plays that one then.
Yeah. God.
He played, now, right now, he played a bassy tempo.
Do you know him?
Da 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 dee. Dee do. Do, 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 do.
Oh yeah! God, what a interesting player he is. He's so a funny guy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this would be a change of pace for sure. I'm thinking aloud. Have you play piano, and you and I'll do a totally off the wall free piece.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Would you like to do? Oh, sure, he says, you know, like anything.
Off the wall, free, that sounds right.
Sounds good, doesn't
right
it?
Right up mine alley. Thank you.
Boy, that was a pretty interesting piece of music. There actually was a melody going in the middle there. You know, when you hear that, we can take that out and make a tune out of it.
Make a tune, yeah.
You can publish it and make make an arrangement for it with your big band.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, I thought. But that's always an interesting thing to me to do. And not everybody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. You certainly know what that's all about.
I like to make music. It's fun.
By the way, I'd like to let you know that my guest is Roy Hargrove. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. You know, Roy, we haven't talked much about your new record, Habana, and it's so exciting. Maybe you could tell me something about how that band came together.
Oh, well, I guess it kind of started when I went over to the jazz festival in Havana and met with Chucho Valdez and Miguel Anga Diaz and Changuito. And we had a great musical exchange. We did a few concerts for the festival. And I also got to play with Eric Carey and Los Van Van and some other local groups in the area.
Kind of exciting.
Yeah, so it was a great educational experience for me, just as far as learning about rhythm and learning about all the different kinds of roles that they play within the music. You know, like you have everybody has a different rhythm to play, but it all kind of comes together and creates a groove. And it's also a very kind of festive kind of music. You know, when you walk into a situation where there's a band playing, everybody's dancing, and it's just like it's general happiness all over, you know.
It must have been fun to make that record.
It was great. So after that, we went over to the Umbria Winter Jazz Festival in Italy and recorded the CD after a string of live performances that we did.
With that band.
Right, with the band.
Fantastic. And that's when you came to write this beautiful tune of your own for the record.
Right.
It's called...
Ballad for the Children.
Ballad for the Children. I wish you'd play that on the piano, will you?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. you know, that really is a beautiful tune, and maybe I can learn it off the record, or maybe you'll have
I'll give you a lead sheet.
Can you give me a lead sheet?
Yes, no problem.
That's a beautiful tune. I'd love to play that.
No problem.
Now, this is terrible. I just feel like I'm just getting to know you, and we're practically through with the show. We've only just got one more tune
okay.
to do. And
getting to
but
know
I just want,
you.
Before we do it, I just want to tell you what a kick it is having you here.
And oh, it's my pleasure.
Hearing you play, seeing you smile, and I feel like I've had a real treat.
C'est moi plaisir.
So, well, let's see. All right, here's one by Arthur Schwartz and Howard Dietz. It's one tune I know who wrote it. You and the Night and the Music.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, I think that's really special that you played that tune in the key of B. It's amazing. Right. You're more amazing than ever, Roy.
Oh, stop.
Thank you for doing the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and our guest Roy Hargrove. This program originally aired in 1998. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator Gene Pinkston, executive producer Tom Clark. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.